The following recording is made available by Faith Community Bible Church. Information on how to obtain additional messages will be given at the end of the message.
As promised, I'm going to preach on divine healing this morning. Notice I don't have my cane with me. No connection, I just forgot it. Don't tell my wife. All right. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to James chapter 5. I have a lot of scripture for you this morning. Maybe you'd like to jot down some verses. James chapter 5 at verse 13. James is about to close this epistle. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I'll come back to the text in a moment. Five reasons for sickness. This is not an exhaustive list, but certainly it takes care of many. Number one, an attack of Satan. Now, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles and follow with me, turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Remember where Satan's abode is today. He's the prince of the power of the what? The air. His normal abode is up there. He also has access to God at God's own permission, even into heaven. I used to wonder, I could see why there'd need to be a new heaven, new earth rather. Why there'd have to be a new heaven? Because Satan has entered there. Someday there'll be a new heaven. So at God's permission, Satan comes. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered him, the Lord, and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. So Satan has access unto God at his permission in heaven, has access to the earth, has access to you at God's permission. Now, don't we keep in mind there's more than one tempter. There's more than one source of temptation. Now, I can't get too far afield, but let me just insert this as we go. There are three enemies for the believer: the world, the flesh, and the devil. All temptation does not come from the devil. So the source above us, that's Satan. He's the prince of power of the air. The enemy around us, that's the world system in which we live. Then the enemy within us, that's the old sin nature, which we still have after we're saved. So you should consider yourself ask these questions as you consider temptation. Is it coming from the devil? Is it coming from the world? Is it coming from within? But here, Satan comes to God, and notice what he says. At verse 3, then he said to Satan, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, All that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life. Now in the Old Testament, now you might just mark down Hebrews 2 to review that. In the Old Testament, Satan had the power over death. And Hebrews tells us when Christ ascended on high, he took back that power, and now he's the one who puts the believer to sleep and death. Now that's a whole nother sermon, but I just get you to think with me there. So here is Satan saying, the Lord says to Satan, behold, in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he was sat in the midst of the ashes. Now, his wife even turned against him. Job, once you just get out of your misery, just curse God and die. So Satan attacks believers. Another source of sickness is inherent weakness. Look, if you will, in John chapter 9. If you don't want to turn, that's fine, but maybe you can mark these down and look at them later. John chapter 9. You'll notice in the ninth chapter of John, verse 1, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now note, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Doesn't mean they were not sinners. But they did not commit sin, which would cause us blindness. But that the works of God should be revealed in him. And so what happens? We find that the man was healed of his blindness. This is for the glory of God. Look now at chapter 11 of John. Third reason, for the glory of God. John chapter 11, and look at verse 4. This is when Lazarus died. And I'm trying to hurry here, but look at verse 3, if you will. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you loved is sick. Then Jesus said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. For the glory of God. And then, a fourth reason, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know this one for quite well, I'm sure. Why were some sick and some had died? Because they had abused the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, 30. A fifth reason for illness is neglect of the body. Now, much could be said there, but I often think of Howard Hughes in this regard. At that time, the wealthiest man in the nation, I believe, he's worth $3 billion, which is... Well, we won't compare that anyway. And I think you know what I'm trying to say. But he died of what? Died of what? He died of malnutrition. Could have had any food he wanted. But he died of malnutrition. I think in Lenin, as we were going through the Soviet Union and into Ukraine, we were there when they were pulling over the statues of Lenin. And our guide, we had a guide in Moscow, a Christian lady, by the way, and we decided we'd like to go see in Lenin's tomb. I mean, not Lenin's tomb, but in Lenin's body. Whatever's left of it, I don't know. So we did, just to be to curiosity, and there was a long line waiting to get in. Had this huge room, and a line, long lines. It was totally dark, and the only place there was light was on his body. He died at 54 years of age from disease called from his immorality. Went to his brain, took his life. So people can have sickness because of the neglect of the body. Now, Jesus healed as he willed. Let me show you something, if I may. Look in John chapter 5. John, the 5th chapter. You know the story quite well. There in verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay, how many people? A great multitude of sick people. Blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now notice what happens. Add verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he was already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was healed. Now note, if you will, this is God's own sovereign choice. A multitude, a great multitude, one was healed. Now, illustrating what Jesus wanted to illustrate here. You see, here was an individual who was healed. And we have people tell us, well, it's not God's will that anybody be ill. And all can be healed. Doesn't work out that way, does it? It's within the purview, within the will of God. Now note also his ministry. In Matthew chapter 10, if you will. And he began his ministry. Matthew chapter 10. He calls his disciples, but look there at verse 1 of chapter 10. He called his 12 disciples to him. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. They healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Now the name of the 12 apostles are, I won't take time to name them all if you can see them. By the way, somebody asked me one day, what's the difference between an apostle and a disciple? Well, look here. At verse 1, you have called disciples. At verse 2, they're called apostles. Now, these are apostles to Israel, not to the church, by the way. Some became apostles to the church also on the day of Pentecost. On down at verse 10, verse 5, if you will. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Heard a television preacher one day say, we ought to be able to do the same thing that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 10. Let me ask you, what commission was it? Is this our commission today? Look over there. as you go. Verse 6. But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is that our commission today? No. What's our commission today? Go to Jerusalem, the city, Judea, the province, and then the Samaritans, and then the othermost part of the world. Whole different commission today. Why was this unique to that time? Because Jesus was presenting his messianic credentials. Back in the book of Isaiah and many other places, Isaiah chapter 33, if you want to mark it down. I won't turn there right now. It says, when this one comes, he's going to cause the blind to see. He's going to cause the lame to walk. These were Jesus' messianic credentials, presenting himself as the Son of God, as the Messiah promised way back in the Old Testament. So his ministry was entirely different then than now. Look also, if you will, in Matthew chapter 11 concerning this. Look at verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. He said to him, are you the one coming, or do we look for another? So here, he's about to be beheaded. Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John these things, which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So Jesus said, John, remember what was promised back in the Old Testament. Here's one who had come, even raised the dead. I don't hear of anybody raising the dead today, do you? I know of a chaplain down in the hospital in our county. And one day, a group came in to see this man, and while he was in front of them, he died. And they came to the chaplain and said, we want a room so we can pray for this man to be healed. We believe God will raise him up. So to be kind and considerate, they provided a room, wheeled this corpse into the room, and these gathered around to pray for that church. And the noise got louder and louder. They finally had to come after so much time. Finally had to come in and stop it. So I don't hear of anybody bragging about raising the dead today. Can God heal? He can. But in and of his own sovereign will. Now Paul, as an apostle, had the gift of healing, but did not heal all. You might mark down 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. 2 Timothy 4:20. And I'll turn there quickly and read it. Here's the individual. Paul had the gift of healing, I believe. And yet, notice that 4:20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Here's one who had the gift of healing at that time. Remember, these temporary gifts were for the giving of revelation or the verification of revelation. And once the scriptures were completed, there's no need for those anymore. And now we have the Word of God. So some gifts were temporary and some were permanent. Any apostle today? No. No matter what Salt Lake City says. There are no apostles today, you see. The apostles lived until they served until they died. and no more apostles. See, there are some gifts that are temporary, some gifts that are permanent. So Paul, even though he had this gift, we believe, of healing, he did not heal all. Notice also, if you will, 2 Corinthians, a verse that you, I'm sure you're very familiar. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Paul is talking about his own experience, I believe, here. And look at, without reading all of it, Paul says at verse 3, I'll break in there. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not well for me, a man, to utter. Now, Paul is telling of his own experience. And he waited a long time before he ever told it. He says, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think me above what he sees me or hears from me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul's talking about this trip to heaven. There's one who really went there and came back. And Paul says, now, he said, lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. The word buffet there could be translated even, beat me black and blue. A messenger of Satan. God allowed this choice servant, the Apostle Paul, who gave us much of the New Testament. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Paul said, I don't like that very much. I believe Paul could pray. He knew how to get a hold of God. He said, I had besought the Lord 3 times. It didn't happen. But what did God say? Verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches and needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I become a fool in boasting. And he goes on to say about his experience. So here was one who knew how to get a hold of God. Here was one who could pray. And God said, no, Paul, I'm going to allow that thorn in the flesh to stay there. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast that. Let's come now to our text. We'll finally get a couple minutes for our text. All right. Look back in James chapter 5. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? There's one individual. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So we're not told what happened to this man who is suffering. He says, let him pray. Is anyone among you sick? So I see 3 different individuals here. The one who is suffering, depression, perhaps, of the mind. And he says, let him pray. Anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. What about this anointing with oil? Somebody said, well, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. Oh, I differ with you. Look, if you will, hold your place here. Look in 1 John chapter 5, chapter 4, rather. Verse, I'll get it straight. Verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 20 and 27. Now, John, the aged disciple, is writing this letter. He says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Look down at verse 20. But the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. You do not need that any man teach you. So forth. It's a different word in the original text. Who is the divine teacher? The Holy Spirit of God. As a result of the Spirit of God indwelling us, we have a divine teacher. What about this other word over here in James 5? He's talking about the medicine of the day. How about the Good Samaritan? Found this man who had been beaten, left by the wayside. He poured in oil and wine. Historians tell us that when Herod the Great was in the process of dying, they put him in a warm vat of olive oil, hoping that might bring some healing to him. But olive oil was used, it's still used today over there in that land, and not bad to use it here in this land. But olive oil has great healing qualities to it. So I don't think he's talking about the Holy Spirit here at all. He's talking about getting the best doctor's help you can get. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. What is that prayer of faith? I do not know that I can tell you precisely. I believe it is when God determines to heal someone, he'll be healed. And God's on schedule. Now we all, as I've shared, we talk every so often on the telephone over here. And we have great love for your pastor and great desire that God might heal him and raise him up to be full strength. But that's in God's own time. I wish I could say, well, come up here, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to see you healed right this minute. God's able to do that if he wants. So divine healing, is in the book? It is. Now, one other passage I'll share with you, and then I've just got to close down here. Look in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, keep in mind, chapter 53 of Isaiah, the confession that Israel will make when they see their eyes are opened and they see him whom they pierced. Just kind of remember that in your own mind, if you will. Look on down, if you will, in chapter, same chapter. Look at verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Just talking about his work on the cross when Christ died for the sins of the world. By his stripes we are healed. This is not physical healing, folks. This is spiritual healing. Now, in the New Testament, the unbeliever is spiritually dead. In the Old Testament, when God talks about the condition of the one who is in need, he says, He's talking about the spiritual need here. By stripes we are healed. Spiritual healing. Somebody said, oh, you mean the cross work of Christ does not include physical healing? I don't see it. Talking about what he did for us, for our salvation. Now, someday we're all going to be healed. All believers are going to be healed. Right? When we see him. We're going to have a glorified body like his glorified body. Longevity and life will be restored for those who come along. So, divine healing, God can do anything he wants to do. And we do not always know his will. We're not always on his time schedule. So remember then, we use the medical means at our disposal, and we pray, much prayer. Here we go.
If you would like a list of other audio messages or other resources available from Faith Community Bible Church, please write to us at 2375 Center Place, El Cajon, California, 92020. The telephone number is 619-461-2245. Thanks for listening.